Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 108, recorded on 18th December 2012, Champions of the Connectosphere. We meet with Alan Hamilton to discuss the IBM Champions for 2013, the Social Connections 4 event in Amsterdam, the upcoming Connect Conference, and the new URL for Smart Cloud for Social Business. All that and more on the Not At All Snarky This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Welcome to This Week in Lotus. Here we are for episode 108. No sooner have we got 107 out the door after a long hiatus, we're back for another one. I'm joined once again by Darren Duke. Hello, Darren.
Do you know of a problem about big hiatuses between the shows? Is I have no idea what stupid shit I said in the previous show because it's so long ago. So I have no idea who I should apologize to. I have no idea who I need to avoid. This is the trials and tribulations for gaps in the show.
Well, after your blog posted this week, maybe just apologise to everybody, maybe.
just avoid everyone.
Well, it's great to talk to you again, Darren. How's life?
It's good, it's good. It's busy. And I actually get a whole 5 days off in a row.
Hey.
I think I might have to go on a round-the-world cruise because that's like probably what 5 days would take.
So you're taking the whole break between Christmas and New Year?
I'm off like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Awesome. Well, enjoy your time off. I'm sure you deserve it. We are joined by Alan Hamilton. Hi there, Alan.
Hi, Stuart. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. It's especially good to have you on the show because you are helping us with Twill. So do you want to describe what role you're taking on for us?
Sure. I'm the back end of the donkey, really, in terms of the production of the podcast. So happy to help out wherever I can, and it might mean I can take some of the stress off you and Darren. If I can do that, then so much the better. Yeah.
And hopefully help us get back on a decent schedule again, because we're supposed to be a weekly podcast, but it's not worked out that way this season. Well, so. Much appreciated anyway. You did a great job on 107, so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes. Congratulations on 107, and we are now going to rename it This Season in Lotus. Seasonal.
So, Alan, tell us who you work for and what you do there.
All right. I am the director of software for a business partner based in Scotland called Ceric Systems, and we do all sorts of hardware, IBM hardware and software. We're kind of true blue organization, and I primarily deal with all aspects of the software, and my sort of day job is rolling out Notes, Domino, Connections, Same Time, and anything that used to be painted yellow. And by night I'm a blogger, tweeter, and all round kind of annoyance in the Twitterverse. I have a blog called Living Social, which is alangehamilton.com.
Awesome. Well, listen, let's kick off then with an accolade that you've been handed just in the last couple of weeks, which is you're an IBM champion now. Fantastic. Good job.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes. I'm not quite sure what I've done to deserve it, and I'm sure I'll find out.
The
Red Book hasn't, well, it's Red Publishing, I guess, it's blogging under the IBM Thoughts on Cloud website. Whether that's turned me into a champion or not, I don't know. Certainly delighted to be appointed that and see what happens from there.
Well, I think your 10-step thing was actually a really good read. So if for no other reason, that I think that should have elevated you to a position, because a series of blogs like that, I think, goes a long way to helping organizations get on the bandwagon, so to speak. And I think it's difficult.
Well, it was difficult writing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you get to step 8 and you're like, I should have called this really 7 steps.
No, I got to step 4 and thought to myself, what have I done? So, but I got some really good help from Joyce Davis, who we all know. She was a real inspiration on the community manager one, and I'd like, you know, to use this podcast to say thank you again to her. She was a real big inspiration for that.
And I tell you what, it has a feel of to me is 10 chapters of a book. So do you see that in your future?
No comment. No comment.
It would make a great book, I'm sure. So maybe one day. But you, maybe. You were one of the, I think, 76 selected champions for 2013. It was really great to see the list of names that was announced on the community call a week or so ago by Joyce Davis and others. Some of the newcomers that I kind of noted were folks like Keith Brooks, Brian O'Neill, Dennis Rott of the Netherlands, Friso, also of the Netherlands, of Salvation Army, Mark Callaghan, Tim Clark, Tony Holder, and many others besides. There certainly seems to be quite a big churn rate, Darren, in terms of newcomers coming in.
Well, I think that was one of the plans. I think the initial target was 50, which I at the time thought was high, but now looking back, it seems like there's probably a zero missing off the end of that number. But I think that's part of the idea. It's, you know, you would kind of think it's a what have you done for me lately? And I think we actually maybe requested at the beginning when they were talking about it, that it wasn't what have you done in the last, what did you do 5 years ago for me? It's more, what have you done today? And I don't particularly think the churn rate is all that bad. It's good to see that a lot of XPage, OpenNTF contributors for the application and the X snippets are in there. I think that's a very good sign as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a good mix of kind of quite traditional product and new product in there. There's definitely some kind of connections champions in there, but for sure there's a lot that are more focused around the Notes and Domino and XPages side. And Alan, you know, the other good thing about that list is there's an awful lot of folks from outside the kind of traditional countries where maybe the speakers for Loadsphere come from in the main. I mean, it's not just UK and North America. It seems to be a really good worldwide spread there.
Yes, indeed. I actually had a look last night just at the number of UK, for example, champions, and I think it's only 10, which is very good of what, nearly 80. So, you know, it's good that the balance is much more geographically spread. You know, it recognises, you know, the work that other folks that aren't immediately on our doorstep are doing too. So yeah, it's a good mix. Also, the fact that there's quite a few customers there, which I thought was quite refreshing. You know, it's not just simply old hacks like me, but people who actually have obviously embraced IBM technology as a customer and are paying for the privilege, if you like. So that I thought was quite a refreshing thing too.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to all those selected. I'm sure you'll be highlighted at Connect next year. And I'm sure you do a great job for the brand over the year to come. So good job to all those concerned.
And I can I add something? I think I miss a layer of transparency. And I know I'm talking about IBM here, so maybe I'm backing up the wrong tree. But it would be nice to know, you know, why someone got it beyond just showing me their bio, right? What was it, because they've posted the 10 steps? Was it because they've presented at various looks? Was it because they run looks? I think it would just be interesting to see, you know, why these individuals are being selected. And I'm with Alan. I think the customers being in there is a very good sign.
That's an interesting point, Darren. I hadn't really considered that. You're right. It's just really the bio that the people want to fill in that gets published. It'd be really good to understand a little bit more about maybe the judging panel and how that goes on. So maybe for next year, it'd be good for Joyce to cover that off as well. One of the other big announcements of the last couple of weeks was the announcement of the Notes and Domino 9 public beta, which of course is IBM Notes and Domino now. We've lost the Lotus and we've got the first public beta code. You know, Darren and I and perhaps Alan as well have been running the previous code drops as part of the Design Partner Program, but it's great to have a version of the code we can both talk publicly about but also recommend customers and partners to download and use. So Alan, have you had a go with 9.0 beta yet?
I certainly have, and I'm delighted that on my shiny MacBook Pro with Retina display that it looks wonderful, because I was suffering from very bad eyesight with the previous Notes client, having spent all the money buying a nice Retina display only to realize I was looking at it through a fog. It looks fantastic, and I found it to be fast, responsive, and all the things that you would hope it to be. And I really, really like the new icon. if you know, it's a, an interesting color of blue, and it's, it sits nicely on the dock, and it just looks good. And I installed it on my Mac Mini last night, just as a tryout, and I didn't have to do my fancy jiggery pokery with the Apple Notes client either. It it just installs as IBM Notes, and off it goes. And so yeah, I think it's a good job. And customers that I've shown it to, since it's been out in public beta, have been really impressed with it. And you know, it's like a breath of fresh air for a lot of folk.
And Dan, I've seen some very positive tweets from you about its speed.
Don't be spreading rumors about me like that. It is beautiful. You know, it's hard to believe it's 21 or 22 or whatever it is now. During the private beta, because both Stuart and myself, I'm not sure about Alan, but we're all design partners. And so we've had what became 9, ostensibly 854, for a while. And I tried using the social edition One UI thing in the last release, and I just couldn't do it. It didn't look or feel right, and it seemed a bit out of place. Maybe they hadn't quite finished it off. And so when Notes 9 came out, you know, it installs that way. Now you don't get the blue. You can switch to the blue, but you don't get the blue by default. You get the One UI by default. And if you wonder what it looks like, go to my blog. There's a couple of screenshots out there for it, and it came up, and it was a lot cleaner and a lot more fluid and a lot sharper. And after about 3 or 4 hours, I thought, okay, let me give the blue UI a shot. Let me give the normal Notes 8 theme a shot, and it looked so 70s. maybe it looked so 2008, yeah, is maybe what I should say. And I immediately switched back to the Source Edition, and I honestly would have not thought that would have happened to me. So whatever IBM have done, they've done a very, very good job.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I think they've done a good job with making it the default as well. I think people are going to struggle maybe for the first 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever, and think maybe it's not as colourful as it needs to be. It is quite a, I don't know.
Bland?
Bland is unfair. I think it's a very clean UI. It's grey, white, black, quite plain. But at the same time, it really does allow the content to shine, I think. And as you say, it gives, after even just half an hour or so, it just becomes the norm and you become very used to it. And actually, I've started now looking at many other apps, particularly on the Mac, in terms of, you know, what their colour scheme and palette is like. And things like Tweetbot, which is, you know, fairly well recognised as probably one of the best Twitter clients for the Mac, is very similar colours. You know, it's black, white, charcoal grey. And I just think it fits with what we expect of a 2012 or 2013 UI. I think they've done a good job on it.
I mean, we mustn't forget, of course, how similar to Windows 8 the workspace looks. And you wonder where Microsoft perhaps got their inspiration from it. If you now look at Windows 8, on the workspace on Notes 9, it's refreshingly similar to the tiles and the squares that we're now being presented with by Microsoft. So I think it looks very stylish, actually. And as Stuart says, it lets the content of the application shine, even down to the little touches with the icons for same time, and you know, the sidebar stuff. I think it looks great, and it looks quite stylish to me. And of course, it's in the same sort of theme as Microsoft are doing with this latest version of Office, where it's a lot of white and, you know, simple design. So maybe that's the style these days.
And going back to what you said about the icon color, Alan, my first, when I saw the new icon when it was up on the taskbar, it's very Skype blue.
Mm. It is, actually. It is. It's sitting between, on my desktop, it's sitting between Skype and iTunes, and they're very, very similar colours.
Mine's sat between Skype and TweetDeck, and I can't tell the difference between any three of them now. I've got to move them around so I stop opening the wrong application. But it is, you know, I'm famous for beating the crap out of IBM, but I think they did a very, very good job on this. And it's still only the first beta, so it's going to get better. I am really, really surprised how useful and usable that new theme is. I was shocked.
And there's, you know, just to reflect the other side, there have been some comments about how it maybe is inconsistent across the other databases. And I must say, I have not found that. You know, it was there, probably if you go back to some old applications and stuff, maybe you can see some kind of joins there. In normal use, you very rarely ever see anything that doesn't look like the new One UI. So for me, it's a pretty complete job. I'm sure there's more work to be done before it gets released, but it feels very good. The other thing that I've been incredibly impressed by is the new iNotes UI, which reflects the Connections 4 version of One UI. And actually, if you flip backwards and forwards between One UI 9 and Connections 4, it's really hard to actually tell you're going between different applications there. They do look very consistent.
Yes.
And even going between iNotes and Full Notes, because I usually have an iNotes window open and a Notes window open if I'm at the client site. And they look identical. I mean, to the point where, occasionally you've got to look twice.
And have either of you had a chance to have a play with the embedded experience stuff yet in terms of activity streams within the Notes client?
Not yet. I actually have the reason I was installing Notes on my other machine was to connect it to Greenhouse so that I could have a play around with embedded experiences, because the CERIC Domino environment is still on the 2000, so far back as the 2012 version of Domino 8.5.3. And so, no, I haven't had a proper go with that yet. Darren, have you?
Tumbleweeds and crickets, no. Right. It doesn't really interest me, to be quite honest.
Okay, well, I'll certainly be giving it a try over the next few weeks, and we'll report back to you in terms of what we found, and maybe other folks will have played with it too. And something else that's happened in the last month or so was an event over in Amsterdam on the 30th November, which is Social Connections 4. Now, we spoke about that on 107, looking ahead to it, and here we are on 108, looking back. Alan, you attended that event, didn't you? What did you think?
I did. I felt it was a fantastic event, Stuart, and you and Simon and Femke and Sharon should all give yourselves a collective pat in the back for it, because it was so well organised, so well attended, and the quality of the speakers was fantastic, and a great location and a great evening out too. It was just a fantastic event, and I had to keep reminding myself that somehow you guys managed to do this essentially free through sponsorships. If anyone out there is at all interested in social software of any shape or form, not even just IBM Connections, it's the sort of must go to event now, I feel. It's so good. And the fact that it's still a relatively small number of people that are going, you can get to meet some really interesting folks, you know, something like the likes of Lotusphere or Connect. There are so many people, it'd be quite easy to miss people that you're looking for. But Social Connections is a really good size. Even if it was to get a bit bigger still, you know, I still think it's a kind of event where people can get a lot of value out of it. I really do.
And what was the final count? 182, 183?
183, yeah, I think. We had 202 registered, and actually we were limited by the size of the capacity of the IBM forum we used. But yeah, about 183, I think, came, which was just fantastic. It was, yeah, that's basically 100% growth since June when we were in Dublin. So we were really pleased with the attendance.
Well, that's got to be now, it's got to be getting up there as one of the biggest user groups on the planet that's independent of IBM now. It's got to be pretty close.
Yeah, I think folks like Auslug and iLug and UKLug are still bigger. But yeah, it's growing well. And Alan, thank you for your kind words. I have to say, all the credit goes to Femke Goodhart. Femke did an amazing job of organising that event. Obviously, she's local to the Netherlands and had access to the forum and to many of the other, you know, the catering and all that kind of thing. But she did an amazing job of organising it, along with Janneke, who is one of her colleagues from Silverside. The two of them did a phenomenal job of organising it. And if you've ever attended iLug and seen Eileen Fitzgerald with her clipboard, she had nothing on Femke. You do as you're told, and it turns out to be a fantastic event. So, and thanks to everybody for attending. It was really good. We published as many of the presentations as we can. We have a load of video from the event that we'll be starting to publish over the next couple of weeks. So do look out for that. The website, if you're interested in finding out more, is socialconnections.info.
And New York, right?
That's the plan. We don't have anything finalised yet, but the thought is to head over to the States and do the New York area sometime in the middle of 2013. But we're struggling to find a venue at the moment and sponsorship and all that kind of thing. So no firm announcements on that, but hopefully, New York, June next year.
Which is a shame, because just 30 miles north of New York, New York, is the IBM World Headquarters. Hint, hint, cough, cough, IBM, get your hands out your pockets.
And they have an IBM Learning Center just nearby. So anyway, discussions are ongoing. Alan, would you attend again? I know you've been to 3 and 4. Would you try and make it to 5, do you think?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, the cost of flying to Amsterdam from the UK isn't much less than flying to the US these days. So it's such a valuable, the content of it is so good, and the fact that you can go and ask, you know, a difficult question of a real expert and get a good answer straight away, and then it felt like a family, actually. It felt like a more than a community, actually. It felt like a family. There was none of the kind of formality that would otherwise be the case, and I hope that gets transferred into the US setting, because the opportunity there for a kind of grassroots user group for connections, I mean, as a customer, I'm sure it gives a great deal of confidence that, you know, there's lots of people out there passionate about this, and this is a really good product. And so, yeah, I mean, if I get the opportunity, I'll be delighted to go. So, yeah, fantastic.
And I'll give a final plug, actually, just to our sponsors, from Social Collections 4 to IBM, Silverside, eOffice, Ilionix, Time to Act, Portico, eFox, and B-Lug. Theo Hesselman sponsored it as well. So thank you to all those folks. Without the sponsors, none of these user groups can happen. And so if you're interested in sponsoring Social Collections 5, then please let me know, because you know, without you, we can't do it. So awesome job to all those sponsors.
And you did get some Oslo tickets, right? not Oslo, but Australian night tickets, right? Didn't I hear you have a magic sponsor name in the middle there?
Yes, eFox, yeah, sponsors of Australian night. It's certainly the pleas were put in there. I don't think they had the tickets ready to go, but yeah, you need to get to know eFox. They have a new rich text editor for IBM Connections, which, if you're interested in, have a look at eFox's website, because it's going to make the most massive difference to how people foresee editing stuff within Connections. So do check that out and attend Australian night if you can.
And I still have your kangaroo, so if you don't let me in, the kangaroo gets it.
The famous kangaroo. And that brings us nicely on to Orlando and January and what is now Connect 2013. Now, since the last time we spoke, all the session acceptance and rejections have been sent out. And Darren, I think you have good news.
That's one way of looking at it. But, you know, but there's the 7 stages of acceptance, right? Where you put it in and you hope you're picked. Then about a week after you put it in, you hope you're not picked. Then you picked, and you're all excited that you were picked. And now I'm into it. Oh my God, I wish I wasn't picked, because now I'm going to do my presentation. And I'm just entering the faffing phase, where I'm finding reasons why not to sit down and do my presentation. Like, oh, my boots need cleaning. That kind of stuff. Yeah, so the procrastination phase is well underway. The template came out the other day, and I've got to say, it's a very nice template. IBM are doing a lot of nice work on user interfaces these days. It's kind of worrying. So that popped out the other day. So yes, I'm doing, I don't remember the exact phrase, but I think it's domino policies are your utility belt. Let it help keep your pants up. It's been around for a while. It's not a new presentation. It'll have new stuff in it, but you know, I think I did it in 2008, 2009, 2010, and then maybe a year off, and it's back again. So we'll see. It's a show and tell, so it's a long one, but unlike previous victims of show and tell, mine is really just an update of my slides. I don't have to go and create 150 to 200 slides, which, thank the Lord, but that's the case.
And Darren, are you doing it yourself, or are you?
I am. Yes. There was some talk about sharing, but I'm just too much of an ASW to let someone else on the stage with me. I'd push them off.
I'm looking forward to it. We're doing some work with a domino rollout at the moment. I'm going to be sat front row at your session, Darren, learning a lot. So well done on getting that. And Alan, did you submit any abstracts? Did you get any?
I did. I submitted 2, and a bit like Darren, I went through the, I hope I don't get picked. And then thankfully my wish came true. So I was unsuccessful in my 2.
You're going to do a policy?
I just got a, I got an email telling me that after careful consideration, etc., etc., and I did heave a bit of a sigh of relief, frankly. You know, I would have been delighted to do it, but maybe I should win my spurs at other events first before attempting the big one, if you like. So, but both of mine were on the smarter workforce side, and I think I may have pitched them in the wrong track. Because they were around using things like they were a bit on the activities and using it for different purposes and stuff like that, you know, practical examples of. So, but yeah, I'm happy, to be honest, to go along and observe, and quite happy not to have the stress that Darren will inevitably face with Stuart and I sitting in the front row pointing at him.
Better hecklers than you.
Well, except these days it's heckling on social networks, isn't it? So you don't actually find out what people have heckled until the end of the session, which isn't the kindest.
Yeah, I'm not naive enough to put a live Twitter stream up on my Lotus session. Ooh, thank you. I'm better off not knowing.
And so there's more and more information becoming available about Connect. I noticed yesterday there was a new site that came out which allows you to preview the sessions, which looks interesting. I haven't had a chance to play with that yet, Darren, but I think you were having a look yesterday.
Yeah, I came out over the weekend and it was a bit flaky. I think it was using an internal CSS, but I fixed that. But I was able to get it to work by hacking around on the HTML. Don't tell IBM that. What interested me is I'm not the only policy session. There's two policy sessions this year. Yeah. So if you really, really want to get bored enough to poke your eyes out, come to both of the policy sessions. Our good friend Barry Rosen actually is doing his, that from IBM, who wrote the upgrade book. He's been on the show before, a couple of times.
Fantastic. And I quite like the site, actually. It's really good. Well, yeah, obviously, there were some glitches originally, but it's working well now. You can search through all the sessions that are on there. You can narrow them down by track and by program and various different things. So go check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes to that. And Alan, what are you looking forward to at Connect this year? Is there anything in particular you'll be looking out for or trying to find out more about?
Kangaroos.
Kangaroos and the return of Spank for Blog Monkey, just to see how he's doing, having met him for the first time in Amsterdam. But I'd like to
I'm
understand...
I'm pretty sure he's on a TSA watch list, by the way. He might not make it back in the country. He might actually be in Guantanamo Bay right about now.
With a yellow suit on, yeah. I'd like to understand a lot more around the adoption of connections and, you know, tips and tricks that people, you know, if we think back 2 years where essentially connections was launched at Lotusphere, last year it was about what's coming and, you know, we're getting off the ground. The product is really maturing now. Four is now, will be out for a good few months, and it will be really interesting to understand what people have found to work in terms of getting other people to use it and making it less about the technology and more about the psychology of it almost. And I mean, there have been some good examples described already. You know, IBM did a lot of marketing around the TD Bank, I think it was, but there are lots of others out there now. And I think those kind of practical tips are the things that probably a lot of the audience that attend Lotusphere and Connect will be looking for, because, you know, to some extent, the technical stuff you can find out or you can ask someone and get an easy answer, but the psychological bit, the approach, the how do you deal with objections, how do you deal with perhaps older members of staff who are more set in their ways, how do you encourage younger members of staff and stuff like that, these are the real unknown areas and the developing areas that I think will be really useful.
And Darren, how about you? What are you looking forward to at Connect?
Naked tweeting.
Not again.
Well, see, historically, my show and tell has always been immediately after the OGS. So if that's the case, I may have problems tweeting it.
I might put in a good word for it to be put in that slot this year then.
I'm interested to see what it's going to be like, because it's a transitional year. And, you know, there's a lot of things that historically have happened at Lotusphere that are not happening at Connect. You know, the T-shirts went away, Andrew Pollock's T-shirts went away last year. You know, there's no Blogger Open this year. Something else stands to mind. It's people I can't think of off the top of my head. So it's interesting to see what the pivot is going to be from Lotusphere to Kinect. Is it just going to be Lotusphere with a different name, or is Lotusphere itself going to be deprecated? And is this, you know, I guess the beginning of the end for what we all know, but that doesn't mean Kinect won't turn into something else if it is.
Do we know if Kinect is going to be in the Swan and Dolphin along with Lotusphere, or is it going to be elsewhere? It was at the Yacht Club last year, wasn't it? And Lotusphere took over the Swan and Dolphin. I wonder if they will be more conjoined.
My understanding is that they're kind of merged, and that Lotusphere is a quote-unquote stream inside of Kinect.
Right.
Which to me means that they're merged and they won't be jettisoning out, you know, the non-geek people over to the yacht or beach club, is my guess. I don't think the rooms are out yet, or even the time slots. I don't know. I don't think I know what my time slot is. So, you know, until that comes out, we won't know. But, you know, I don't think they're going to separate them like they have historically.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. It's basically the whole conference that was Lotusphere is now Kinect, and then there's three or four tracks within that that are known as Lotusphere. So I think that's how it's just going to be all you know, spread out and shared. Any thoughts on where the party might be this year? They've obviously been to several of the parks around. I noticed there's a new theme park in Orlando called the Thrill Park, but that doesn't open until the summer, unfortunately, so that'll be too late for Kinect. But any ideas where we might end up this year?
Ooh. Epcot?
That would be good. We haven't been to Epcot in a number of years, and I know quite a few folks who go to Kinect do the whole drinking round the lake thing at Epcot, so that would make it an interesting...
And by folks, you mean Handley.
Okay, Handley can move.
It's almost walking distance, too, from the...
It is, you can get the boat.
Yeah.
We can hijack, we can do piracy, we can hijack the boat.
There's Legoland. See, there's a new Legoland park. Could be it.
Oh. Historically it's been the new park, so one would expect it to be Legoland. And actually, for Legoland, I would actually probably go to that, because anyone that listens to the podcast or knows me knows I don't usually make it to the party because I'm exhausted by that time. But the party is usually when I go to sleep. But for Legoland, I would probably make an effort and actually go out.
We will see. I'm sure that will get announced sometime soon.
I have a question. Has anyone heard any more about the soccer match that was being discussed?
So Bill Malczewski's Saturday Soccer, Bill, is that the one?
Is that happening?
They're talking about it. I don't think I could run around for 90 minutes, so.
I'm on nine. I'm on the list, so whether I make it there or not, I don't know. But yeah, I'm on the list to take part in that. Bill Malczewski is the person to speak to. The other news we've had in the last couple of weeks is that the Blogger Open is no more, which is a great shame. That's an event that Mitch Cohen has run for the last, what, 3 or 4 years, I guess, since the Swan race went away. I think
keep getting marginalised. There's a here.
Yes, yeah. Community silly events at Lotusphere tend to get marginalised. I believe it's the fault of the hotels rather than anything else. I think the thinking is that maybe we'll end up going bowling. So we'll certainly announce more news on Twill as soon as that becomes available. Keep an eye on that. There's also been some other news in the last couple of weeks. One is that Lotus Live has finally its URL changed. So obviously it got renamed from Lotus Live to Smart Cloud for Social Business. I still have to think about that one. Earlier in the year, but the domain has now been changed to na.collabserve.com. The community call that we mentioned earlier on with relation to the Champion announcement seems to suggest that was down to white labelling. So basically, customers don't necessarily want that URL to be linked to IBM or Lotus or whatever. So that may well be the reason. But it certainly seems to have smoothed things out, in that there were some issues with logging into different domains and things not necessarily working as well as it might do, whereas they all seem to be have been solved now. It seems to be working pretty well.
I think 101 of cloud is don't change your URLs. Think ship breaks.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand the white labeling, but what I don't understand is why throwing it all into one. Why not create a white label server system and a non-white label server system? You know, people pay IBM, they want the IBM name.
Yeah, and the whole domain has kind of caused some discussion, and I blogged about it, and I think others did too. It's an interesting domain for them to have chosen because it doesn't necessarily relate to any of the services on Lotus.
Or anything. Yeah. It's for whatever reason, it makes me think of Mr. Whippy. I don't know why. I think it's the serve. The S-E-R-V kind of part of that. Perhaps. Soft serve ice cream, Mr. Whippy.
I'm also puzzled by the NA, which I guess is North America. So I'm sure we'll begin to see this all become clear as IBM rolls out more services on Smart Collaborative Social Business and we see what they're going to be used for. The other thing that's just come up in the last couple of hours or so is Ed Brill has blogged about XWorks Server, which we've discussed on this podcast a number of times. So this is the kind of server application service end of Domino. So basically you can buy a license that allows you to run applications that customers and users can log into from across the internet using just the HTTP service. And there was some interesting licensing with that when it was first announced in terms of the number of databases, number of applications you had. It sounds as though they're going to tidy that up with the move to Domino 9 later on next year.
I think a lot of it was to do with the new license that's called Fixed Term, which is in a couple of products. It's in XWork, it's in Lotus Protector, plus it might be in a couple of others. And that basically means that you basically have a specific version of software for usually a 12-month period. There's no support, and at the end of 12 months, it's you either expire and you can't use the software, or you pay again and you get whatever the next version is. And it's like Fixed Term license, but I always mistake it and call it FTL, like Faster Than Light, whatever it's called, the engine on Star Trek. But I think that's what it's kind of about. Is it's kind of his post seems to be indicating that, hey, we're going to say this is end of life, but that's normal in this kind of license scheme, which it is.
And I think you're right. And it seems like they're sensible tidying. And Ed has done the sensible thing, which is to jump in as soon as the channel announcement went out, which is a little bit confusing, and give us the guide on what's going to happen next. So good job on Ed for blocking.
Well, the channel announcement said there was no replacement product, but there is.
Yeah. And that's
it's going to be probably 9. If you move them from 853, the only place you can go is 9.
Yeah. Go have a look at the blog post. We've got a link in the show notes, so go check that out if you've got any questions at all. And lastly, of course, we move on to our tips. Every time we have a guest on here, we talk through something they would recommend to the user base, to the people who listen to Twill. It might be a product, a service, a website, a feature within the product. So, Darren, why don't you kick us off?
Anyone that follows the podcast or follows me on Twitter knows that I have an affliction for solid-state drives. The faster, the better. I do not want to wait more than 2 seconds. I'm the new fast food generation. If I've got to sit at the drive-thru for more than 2 minutes, I'm going to leave without my food. And so solid-state drives are right up my alley, and I've just got my hands on what I would consider the fastest solid-state drive I have ever seen. It's a SanDisk Extreme SSD. And right now it's on sale at Amazon, and mine's a 240 gig one, but this thing screams. I mean, it is impressively fast.
Ooh, we might have to give that a go. Mine's starting to age a bit, so maybe I'll do that. We've got a link in the show notes to that, so go check it out. Alan, do you have a tip?
Yeah, I've actually got two. The first one I've already mentioned, actually, was if you have a shiny new MacBook Pro, 13 or 15 inch, go and check out the public beta of Note 9 because it works very nice on Mountain Lion, full screen mode, retina enabled, crystal clear text, and a real joy to use. The other thing I just wanted to mention was, did everybody see the announcement of the Traveler mobile app? For to-dos, for managing tasks, both for Android and for iOS. It does require an upgrade to Traveler, which is available through Fix Central, I believe, and for the first time allows you to manage your tasks that you would have in Notes, but on your mobile device.
Excellent. Good tips, both. Brilliant.
Any idea when to do in journals?
No.
Put that in as a request, Darren, I'd say. I'm sure somebody should be looking at doing that. I think.
Well, it's already done.
Wasn't there a third party alternative?
Yeah, who have I've bought. Julian Buss.
Yes, correct.
And it really is impressive, actually. But it's iOS only. And so I have people on Android who also want to-dos. So if any Android developer is bored and wants to make, $7 a pop, because I think you can easily charge $7 to $9 for that kind of stuff. man, I think there's a market for you.
Yeah, definitely. Go for it, folks. And my tip is an app for Mac, Windows, Android, and iOS. So it covers most of the bases. I'm sure Matt Newman will complain it doesn't cover Linux, but it covers the other ones. And 1Password is a really great password saving app. So it syncs with iCloud or Dropbox. It basically captures passwords as you type them in the browser and stores them in its own encrypted store. It can also store wallet details, you know, credit cards and so on, account details, addresses, that kind of thing. And then the idea is you don't have to remember them. They're all stored in your 1Password store. And within your browser, you just right-click and basically just paste in directly from 1Password. And the idea of that is you can have much stronger passwords than you would be able to remember otherwise and just store them all under one master password within 1Password. It is a really great tool. I've just started using it full-time now and really getting well with it. The other quick tip is something that I'm probably the last techie in the world to know about, which is you can get flat Ethernet and HDMI cables, which I kind of knew you could get flat Ethernet cables, but I thought they only came in like 1 or 2 meter lengths. But they are really great if you order really long flat Ethernet cables, because suddenly it makes it much easier to link parts of your house or office together, because they go underneath carpets and through walls much easier than thick Ethernet cables do. So we've just started using them here, and they are really great, and they're not expensive, so just order them from Amazon or wherever your local provider is. The other thing is you can get a flat HDMI cable, which although you will need to put the thick plug bit through a wall or through some kind of ducting, it means you can have far more cables within a duct than you would otherwise. So go check them out. Just search on, you know, just Google or search on Amazon or whatever. But we started using them a lot and I had no idea they existed. So.
And Stuart, welcome to 1986.
I'm sorry.
And you can make your own flat. You can make your own flat Ethernet cables by just driving over normal ones.
Actually, I'm going to ask a request. Does anybody know, not necessarily on this call, but otherwise, could leave a comment on the Twill site? Hey, there's an idea. Leave a comment. But whether you can get HDMI cables where the plugs come off and they have smaller connectors that you then plug the plug into.
So, kind of, sort of, there is a facility where you can actually do that over Ethernet. So what you have is you have a decoder at one end where I've not seen HDMI, but it must exist. I've seen composite or component, which is the old HD, where you'd plug it into a box and the box has two Ethernet cables out, but plugs into a box at the other end that has component out again. So I have absolutely no knowledge, but utmost belief that this must exist for HDMI.
There you go. I've taken us down a rabbit hole already. We're just back on the show again. We're already going down different routes. But anyway, if anybody has an answer to that, let us know. It'd be really good to know. So thank you, folks, for taking part. It's really great to be back on the road with Twill again. Hopefully we'll do these more often now. Alan is helping with the production side, which is the bit I've struggled with over the last few months. So, Darren, do you want to tell people where they find you?
Blog.darrenduke.net for the now infamous Snarky Review of 2012, and lots of screenshots about 9 as well. So I'm not just nasty to IBM. I also love IBM secretly. And Twitter, all one word, Darren Duke, for my 140 character rants. I haven't really been upset at a lot of people lately. I need to change that. I need to go and find someone to beat up.
No. We're liking the cheery, happy Darren. Carry on. And congratulations on that blog post. It was just inspired. I loved it. Laughed a lot. So yeah, we won't put a link in the show notes, but if you're interested, just search for Darren Duke and Snarkin. I'm sure you'll find it. And Alan, where do people find you?
On my blog and on Twitter, if you just do a search for Alan G. Hamilton in Google or anything, or your favourite search engine, you should find me. I have a blog and Twitter accounts and LinkedIn and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre or on the blog, which is stuart-mcintyre.com. So thank you all for being patient with us, waiting for a new episode or two. Thank you again for listening. We would love your comments, your feedback, your tweets. So please do get in touch if you can. Until next time, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.